Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. I'm glad you're joining us. Tonight is a good night because tonight's a man's night. So we're going to talk about men. Man, we're going to train you how to be men. Does that make sense? We're going to find out tonight. My guest is going to join us in a little bit is Greg Anderson. And he's going to talk about how basically he got rid of all of his stuff, picked up one day, moved to Mexico, and how he created One Mind. And we're going to talk about masculinity and all the great things that come with that. It is a cool topic. So Greg is going to join us shortly. How was your week? Let me know what's going on. Tweet me at Max Tucci. If it's your first time joining us, welcome to the show. And if you've been with me for almost the 11 years that I'm here, well, thank you for joining us back on Max and Friends every Sunday night on LA Talk Radio. Listen, we've got some great stuff happening here at LA Talk Radio. There's a show on Mondays called The Polished Woman. I know tonight we're talking about men, but tomorrow, Monday, at 1 o'clock, The Polished Woman with Jessica Boonvach is a great live stream show here on LA Talk Radio. Not only do we have the radio aspect, but we also have camera aspect and live stream with The Green Studio. They have so many great shows over there, so check them out. Plus, over like I think we have like over 70 shows here now on LA Talk Radio in the 11 years that it's been here. So thank you for coming to LA Talk Radio and for being a part of our shows and our family. Hey, speaking of family, you know, I say the first time you're a friend on Max and Friends, the second time you're a family. So go over to latalkradio.com/Max, and there you're going to find over now 10 and a half years of interviews with some amazing people, like really great celebrities, authors, inspirational beings, wonderful musicians, housewives, reality stars. If you name it, we've had them here on Max and Friends. So check that out. And also get the LA Talk Radio app. It's free. And just go download it for your smartphone, and you could take us on the road with you. The LA Talk Radio app is a fun, super easy-to-use app, user-friendly, and you can take me to bed with you every Sunday night at 8 o'clock on the West Coast, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. So, the Oscars were last week, the buzz, fun show we had, but also so much going on in LA. I was there last week. I'm back in Florida now. And LA was like amazing, super cool, fun time. Tune into last week's show if you want to hear about that trip. But also this week that just passed, we had some great. So here's the deal. I met an amazing singer, Prima. Prima Alpon. Okay, here, io sono italiano, però non posso dire questo cognome. Okay, so Prima Apollinari, amazing singer. We met at the Tower Bar, and then she had her concert at the Grafton on Wednesday. So I'm going to play a song here tonight on Max and Friends from Prima so you can get a gist of her vibe, which is amazing, beautiful song. Speaking of songs, we're going to play some Sharon Agati, some Ash Ruiz, some Sabrina Johnson. We're going to have a fun time here tonight on Max and Friends. So stay tuned with us. My guest, Greg Anderson, is going to join us, and we're going to talk about really how it is. When I tell you he got rid of his stuff, let me tell you, he got rid of his Ferrari, he got rid of all of his stuff, and moved to Mexico. So that's good. That's an intriguing thing, and we're going to talk about meditation, not medication. We're going to talk about meditation. Speaking of meditation, there's a great book called Tranquility Without Pills, and I want you to pick that book up because really it is an awesome read, and you can learn about doing some meditation there. And if you're scared to do meditation, it's so easy. Just go on YouTube, type in meditations, find one there that you love, and get into it. You know, it's super, I love to meditate, and we do it here often on Max and Friends. So definitely get into that that shift, and that shift that paradigm to meditate some more, at least twice a day. I promise you it will change your life. You know, I think this mic is really good tonight. So I'm enjoying being here on Max and Friends. I'm glad you're joining us right now. We're going to play Prima. And when we're back, Greg Anderson is going to be with us. So stay tuned to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We'll be right back.
Forgive me, I forgive you. Let's start again, let's break through. I was bound to fade away. So if you listen, I will stay.
Hey, talker, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Succi. Welcome back. That was Prima Apognati. She's going to be on Max and Friends. I'm excited to have her join us. But tonight, listen, if you could do anything right now that you really desired to do, whatever it could be, what would you do? What would you do right here, right now, at this moment? Would you pick up? Would you leave? Would you head for Mexico? Would you head for India? Would you head maybe for the Smoky Mountains? Would you head for the Rocky Mountains? Where would you go? What would you do? What would you leave behind? Some great questions to ask yourself. And why would you do it? My guest tonight, Greg Anderson, is going to tell us about his personal development. He is a personal development coach for men. And he's training men how to be men until he learned to be what really it meant to be masculine. And the word masculinity. We're going to talk about it tonight here on Max and Friends. And it's also, he says, this is about surrendering to the divine, feminine, and masculine in us all. That is a cool topic. It's one that I enjoy talking about. So right now, welcome to Max and Friends, Greg Anderson.
Hey, Max. How you doing tonight?
I'm awesome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. How beautiful was that song?
Wasn't that beautiful?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Open my heart.
Stunning.
Yeah, she's
take
really...
you to the heart.
Right? To the heart. To the heart.
Yes.
We met last week at Tower Bar in LA. And really, I was like... I looked her up on Instagram and got her videos, and I was like, wow, like beautiful music, beautiful, beautiful music. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But yes, thank you very much.
Of course. So listen, our genesis, we go back to Sundance. I don't even know how many years ago we met there originally.
I'm guessing it was like 4 years.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then planning to have you on the show, and then life happens, and life happened for you in a way that's like, wow, I'm glad to have you here, because you picked up. You left everything behind. You got rid of your house, your stuff, your Ferrari, and you moved to Mexico.
So you know, it was an interesting journey. I went through this, wild awakening like many people do. Yet mine was, I had struggled and fought, and I did the hustle, created the brands, created the businesses. This was the men's personal development. Like, how do we just get to be really strong? And when I got to the top, I went, well, now what? Like, I just feel like there's still something missing. There's something more than just, you know, being aggressive with your to-do lists. And it kind of just started unraveling. And it wasn't in a bad way. It was just, I don't know, there were just more opportunities to life.
A new way.
Traveling.
Yeah. So let's get into the genesis of how you wake up one morning. Did you just wake up one morning? You're like, all right, I'm out of here. Get rid of everything. I'm going. I don't know where, but I'm out. How did this awakening, let's call it, happen?
It was like a 6-month process. The first thing that happened is one morning I woke up and I had this little voice in my head. And that voice, I was a personal development coach at this point, and I have some divorce books, and I did these consulting type of things in families. And there was a voice in my head that said, who are you to dictate what somebody's pain is worth? And what that meant was, is all of the products I had created, you had to pay to play, right? You had to pay money in order to get access. And everything in that moment shifted. I rechanged everything. So it was a free-based service. And that led me on this wild path to where I'm building this application, which is One Mind. And we can kind of get into the details of this later. But the Mayan cultures and some things that they did 2,000 years ago in Mexico, just everywhere I would go, my dreams, I would see it. I would see it in a movie. I saw it on the documentaries that were on TV. And I was like, well, I guess I need to go. And that's what happened.
So you go to Mexico. Why Mexico?
Mayans. Yeah, the Mayan civilization that lived down here a couple thousand years ago, they lived a very specific way. And they had this ancient technology when it came to like bringing people together and keeping harmony inside of their cities, inside of their kingdoms. And I wanted to know why.
Why did you want to know why?
So in human evolution, we're in this really interesting spot where we're waking up to our individual consciousness. We're like, yeah, I feel great. I feel there's more outside of me. And I started learning that we were missing something else, which is, I can be very conscious and I can still be a jerk because I'm only thinking about my conscious mind. And, or I could, you know, participate in group meditations, and I could participate in these other types of big events with people. You've been to a concert or a meditation where you're like, you're so tuned into everybody. You feel much more than you ever do by yourself. Have you ever had that experience?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I get it often when I go to Colorado.
Yes. Another beautiful place.
Yeah.
I wanted to build an app that would do that for anybody free, meaning there's no charge. I wanted to be able to connect people, meditators or group prayers, where somebody in Asia wants to hold something, or someone in California wants to hold a prayer vigil or a meditation, and say, okay, cool, how do I do this and connect it out to everybody else that wants to be on? Unlimited amounts of connections, meaning it wasn't just like, hey, let's all do one meditation a day. It was, how can we do 1,000 a day and plug in? Because we start plugging into some really amazing research studies that happens when people feel this good, when we feel connected. And so the Mayans had it. They had all of their kinsmen, all of the people in the kingdoms would come down once a quarter, and they would pray, and they would hear from their, you know, leaders, and then they would go back out into the kingdoms. And it kept this really amazing synergy around people. So I kept feeling this when I was traveling around the world, going to places, and I just wanted to do it more often. So I came here to learn from them so I could finish writing the software so we could put it out in that platform.
So tell us more about One Mind. You know, like when there's something inside of you that has to be birthed, I know it's fun. It's a pregnancy, you know, and then you finally give birth to it. So where are you right now with One Mind?
One Mind is live right now. We finished it up about 2 months ago and then just went through a lot of testing. And so here's kind of a quick gist of what this is. You know, in the beginning, you were talking YouTube for meditation, or there's Headspace, or there's unlimited amounts. I don't even know, like 2,000 different meditation apps. And currently what we do is we're only live, meaning there's only live streaming transmissions. You and I both have to be on at the same time with the intention of both being there, whether that's one of us or 10,000 of us, which changed the dynamics of what happens. That just sitting and listening to a recording is awesome. But whenever you can connect to something live as well, just something new is birthed out of it.
That is the truth. So it's live, which means no recordings. And now you're bringing people together. Now, how do, like, let's say someone's in California and they want to have a conscious conversation or a conscious meditation with others. How do we get in touch with you to do it?
So basically any of the app stores, Google Play, Apple, it's One Mind Meditation. They can go to any of the websites, which is One Mind app, and just download it, go in and decide, are you going to be somebody that wants to hold events or you want to be somebody that participates in events? You decide what kind of an account you want. Again, we always want meditations to be for free. We found some research studies that have been going back for 40, 50 years now, which tell us what happens when 1% of any population at least just sits together and realizes that we're connected through meditation or prayer. Mm-hmm. And research studies for 45 years now will tell us that we'll lower crime rate by 25%. It's wild.
Yeah, it's amazing. But what got you into meditation?
You know, I was going through a divorce like 8 years ago, and I was in the mindset that, you know, if I made a lot of money, I didn't come from a lot of money. So my mindset was, if you make a lot of money and you have a hot wife, you're going to be happy forever. and as it was coming apart, I thought, wow, maybe I'm missing the boat. And this was one of those fields of study where I was like, well, maybe I'm missing something. I called a friend who trained people and said, can you teach me to meditate? He told me to buy a book. And it didn't quite fit. And so started creating classes and turned it into this men's development, men's personal development program, which I don't necessarily run anymore. But it did teach me a lot about how cultivating what masculinity was, and then also taught me what masculinity wasn't. So it was this really interesting way of teaching me more about life.
So what was masculinity to you? What did it mean to you?
You know, masculinity to me meant to be strong enough to punch through a brick wall, and not necessarily physically, but as you're self-employed or you have a family and you have a job, day-to-day minutia kind of grinds on you. And if you don't have some kind of a mindset or some kind of a checklist or process to help keep that really strong, we kind of fall apart. And through training this to a couple thousand men, there was a lot of synchronicities, a lot of the same things that were happening over and over again, where it was forcing, if somebody went into a depression and didn't know how to get out, it was forcing their wives and the people around them, their partners, if you will, to have to step up in ways that they weren't ready for or designed to do. And so that was about how to train there. But once we come to this pinnacle, I realized there was more to being able to punch through a brick wall. There was also, how do I hold on to something with dear life? That's the feminine in me is like that tigress, that strong, I will hold on to this. I will not let go. And anything that comes to me is going to die. That's the feminine velocity that I wanted to learn. Because it wasn't cultivated in masculinity. It was just like, this is how you have to be and be stoic. And, and it just, there was more to it.
Right. The duality.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to you now? What does it mean to you now, masculinity?
Masculinity means being able to, if you would imagine like a tree forming, and there's the tree trunk, and then there's a huge tree, and there's all of these bushes and trees that go around it. The bushes and the trees, the leaves are all the feminine side, and the trunk is the masculine. So the trunk for me allows me to hold a solid foundation while still being able to sway through everything.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So when, you know, when the people are listening tonight and they're like, I don't understand any of this, which I'm sure people always, you know, because there's patterns in pathology and men are taught to be a certain way and women are taught to be a certain way. And then someone comes in with, you know, they've been enlightened and now they're sharing their story with you. And people are like, wait, but there's a duality to this, or there's a pattern that I don't understand, or a pathology that's like, this sounds foreign to me. What do you say to those kind of guys who are listening and saying, What are you talking about?
First, open a book older than 100 years old. anything that goes back into, even if it's religious or if it's some kind of psychology book and it's older than things that are written in this century, it's everywhere. The information about the yin and yang around the duality of the masculine, feminine, and being a whole person means that you have the capability of working within both, right? We both have a positive, negative charge inside of our body. We have this. It's physics. Mm-hmm. And so then it's just going, oh, let's just remove some of the dogma, remove some of the things that actually, you know, when our parents and our grandparents were around, that was really required. You were just this way. Mm-hmm. And now we don't really live that lifestyle anymore. We don't have just the farm and we have to do these things and you have to fit in these boxes. The boxes are no longer existent. They're wide open. And we're just learning how to, you know, play again. But realistically, just open anything old and it's there.
It's there. It is there. So, you know, let me ask you a question. When you hear because I'm going to set up a song, so we're going to go into it after. But when you hear the words most beautiful light, what does that mean to you?
Most beautiful light. Interesting you asked me this today. So the most beautiful light right now, what that means to me, it's that little spark that sets right in between, like right in the center of your chest, not necessarily where your heart sets, but right in the center of your chest, right below or right above your sternum. Mm-hmm. And it's that spark which is always with you at all times. Like anytime I want to feel something, I just breathe into my chest and all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, I can actually feel something in here and it never leaves me. So the most beautiful spark is that spark within that like shines where people come to you and they're like, I don't know what's going on with you right now, but whatever it is, that looks awesome. And they're not talking about your clothes.
Right.
They're talking about your shine, right?
Your solar plexus is beaming.
Yes, yes. Totally. It's that is where
the most beautiful light.
That's the shine for me.
Awesome. Well, the shine and the most beautiful light to Asheru's means this. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. My guest tonight is Greg Anderson. We're going to talk more in just a moment. But right now, most beautiful light. I hit mute too quick because I'm so excited for the song. Stay tuned.
All I wanna do is sing your love songs. All I wanna
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Ash Ruiz, the most beautiful. That is one of my besties in the whole world. And that song just brings great joy to my life. So Ash Ruiz, check him out. Most beautiful light. Y'all remember him from Menudo. But if you don't, now you do. So welcome back to the show, Greg.
Thank you.
Another great song.
Thank you. Yeah, I like it. If you don't, now you do.
Right. If you don't, now you do. Well, you know, it's being in the present. It's always being in the present. So speaking of the present, you know, when there's guys who are listening right now and they're hearing how you literally picked up, got rid of your stuff, moved to Mexico. How does one do that? If they have obligations, responsibility, family, children, cars, mortgages, houses, you know, all the things that I don't understand either. But for those who that's a part of their daily, what do you tell them?
Yeah, that was a rough one. That was trying to wrap my mind around how do you get rid of everything? Like legitimately everything, like the clothes and the
letgo.com,
all the knickknacks, all the everything was intense. It took me about 3 months to do it. I started on the process, and it was interesting. Like when I decided to build One Mind, I went to all kinds of places for funding, and they basically told me no. They're like, connecting people, that's not a technology. No, it's not going to work. So I looked at myself and said, well, you know, I've worked hard for the last 20 some odd years, I think I can fund this if I get rid of everything. Mm-hmm. And so I just started dumping everything. Half of it was not half, but my personal items about how donated to people that I knew or Salvation Army needs certain items. And when I was done after inventory and just lists of selling stuff and selling things and it was intense. I ended up having 12 boxes. I have a car, which I still keep in Utah. Mm-hmm. I have two children that live in Utah, so I fly back there every 4 weeks and rebuilt this relationship with my ex and her husband where I stay with them for the week that I'm there so that I get more intimate relationship day-to-day time than I did when I lived in the same city as them before. So I just started thinking outside of the box of these obligations.
Or thinking inside of the box.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I want to pick up on that because I often say it here on Max and Friends, you know, everyone's like, oh, think outside of the box. And I'm always like, that is a pathology that we need to break the foundation of because it's inside of us where all of it happens. And, you know, I consider ourselves the box, the creator of our own realities. And when you actually look inside like you did, that's when you're able to say, oh my God, all of the funding over these years are right here inside of everything that I have. Like you set yourself up to fund yourself with like unconsciously.
100%. That right? was such so beautifully said. 100%.
But yeah, so I find it interesting because you do have children. So how is it, you know, what encouragement do you give guys? Because it kind of looks like for those who don't understand, you know, the enlightenment, the movement for you, like you kind of abandoned this situation. And I know that's not the truth, but how do you explain to men, like, I'm not abandoning my family or my children, but I have to fulfill my destiny. What do you tell men? How do you encourage them to do it?
Yeah, there's two things about that. I literally had this conversation a week ago with one of my friends who just said, I don't understand. How is this possible? And so I started talking about the family dynamics and first where I lived and you know, the ages of my children. My daughter dances three nights a week. She does drama another night a week. And so four nights out of the week, she's blasted like from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. There's nothing going on. And then during the weekends, because of the dance performances and these things, those are things that I go to if they're like a performance and sometimes not. And so I started finding myself only having several hours a week because of kids just are kids. And I wanted to know, could I still be supportive, be there for everything that's important? And then when we had these conversations and said, well, I'll just come and stay with you, literally in your house with my ex-wife and her husband. And we'll redefine what it meant to be a family for us. That way I wake up with them, I take them to school, and I have these longer chunks of time. We're actually closer now because of that, because of this inside-the-box thinking directly from you. The second part about this is this summer, I had everybody coming down and stay with me here in Mexico, and we had our first family vacation together, all five of us. And we're sitting around the dinner table as we normally do and ask, like, you know, what is something that you really love about somebody in the family? Like, what are you learning? And both of my daughter and son at different times, they said, well, you know, dad's really teaching me that if I want to do something, there's nothing that I can't do if I'm willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which changed, you know, the tears started coming and it changed everything. Cause I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not actually just speaking it. I'm saying it. And this isn't a lifetime choice for me. This was a year choice, where it did require some more work, but the life lessons that are given even to them, I see that as pretty profound.
It's super profound, you know, because you did. It's like, you know, you've taken the unconventional and made it conventional in a way, which is so great. You know, and I don't say that out of judgment, but I know that a lot of people look at me like, this is so weird that you're like there with your ex-wife, her new husband, your kids. No, it's not. It's a beautiful thing. It's possible. And it's just shifting the energy and shifting the paradigm of what we're taught, you know, to say, no, this is like, this is the way this works for me. We have to do things that work for us. So I want to get into a little bit of your life because you've spent time in the jungles of South America. You've studied in hidden underground temples in Italy. You've studied in several temples here in the States, which are closed to the public, lived with monks, studied and practiced shamanism, both with and without plant medicine. But let's go to the jungles of South America. What drew you to there?
So that one was some shamanism, and it was, this was a few years ago, and a good friend of mine kept trying to introduce me to ayahuasca here in the States, which is a plant-based substance. And it was illegal in the States, and I wasn't sure where they were bringing anything in, and there was all this unfamiliar energy about it. So Colombia for me was to go down and stay with a family that lives in the jungle, like in the jungle, and this is all they do. And it was my first experience into, you almost want to call it third world, but it's not. It, just because they're in a poverty level doesn't
mean real world.
They're not really enjoying their life.
It's a real world.
Yeah. And so I got to go live with them and stay with them and be a part of that that whole process, which was super beautiful. And now I've been back and forth a few times and not necessarily had anything to do with plant medicine, but just spending time in the jungles. There's just this like raw energy that you just get to soak in, which is wild for like creativity and processes. So it's great.
It is great. And for all of you who are wondering about ayahuasca, here's the best way that I can describe it to you. Go Google Chelsea Handler Show, watch her do it, and it'll give you a better understanding of what it is if you want to see someone actually going through the process. So yeah, that's an interesting it's like the whole Peru connection too. But so temples of Italy, underground temples in Italy.
Yes, there's a group of people that 40 years ago decided that they wanted to create their own like forms of worship, and they're not really like they're not a church or a religion. They just, God, there's just so many different deities and different philosophies through the world. And they said, hey, we want to not be persecuted by our government, even not very long ago. And let's do this. So over a 30-year period of time, they moved 2 million buckets of dirt and rock by hand.
Wow.
And it's called Domino, Italy. That's the city where this is in. And they have...
What province is it?
Sorry?
What province is it in?
Oh, I North, wish I South, could tell you. I flew into Torino, and then I went an hour and a half towards the Alps.
Gotcha. So north.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes. And it's stunning and beautiful. And they're amazing, amazing artists. The marble floors and the columns, the stained glass windows, everything that they had in there was really beautiful. And they call their temples the temple for all humankind, because every deity that's been represented on the planet, if somebody thought that they were, you know, Persephone, which was the daughter of Zeus, or whatever that Hindu god or Christian god or whatever that is all
Jesus,
represented
Hanuman,
in one place.
Ganesh, Allah,
yes.
Whomever, yeah.
Yeah, it could be Pan or it could be Gaia, anything where people believed in this, they put them all together, and it cultivates this really beautiful energy around... Doesn't matter what you believe. I mean, technically, we all believe something different anyway, just because of the way that our brain.
And even if you don't believe, you're believing and not believing.
Agreed. And it's all 7.5 billion of us have different belief systems. And so it's a really beautiful place to go and study and learn and just like I'll be in more of the sameness. The science of sameness is studying the same things about human beings in other parts around the world versus only looking at the differences, which we've kind of been trained to do. And so it was really beautiful.
Yeah. You know, there's a place similar to that in Florida, in Sebastian, Florida, called Kashi Ashram, which was founded by Ma Jaya. And she teaches, teach all ways for all ways of the divines, meaning whatever you want to believe in or practice, you can go there and do it and enjoy it. And there's literally like a... there's like a station for each religion that you go to, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, whatever it is, you just go and discover and find peace in all of the religions, you know?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, belief is holding on to things that faith is letting go. So, you know, it's fun to let go of everything and just absorb everything. But let's talk about these temples in the United States. Oh, if you want to know more about Kashi, everyone listening tonight, I'm just like in a phone conversation with you right now, but we got to get back into radio. My guest tonight is Greg Anderson. Welcome back to Max and Friends. We're just talking about letting go and living life and, you know, really just taking it to where you want to take it, creating your own reality and letting go of all the things that kind of bind you to being something that maybe you're not. So you went to some temples here in the United States that are closed to the public. What does that mean? And where are they? How do we get a ticket?
It's tough. It's like an invite only.
Okay.
It's more of the kind of the temple work that was done in Italy where, you know, people have certain belief systems. And when you make something very sacred and you say, hey, we're only going to practice, you know, this kind of meditation or prayer in these doors, and you continue to do things, it just makes the spirit that's evolved in there, probably just like the ashram that you were speaking about before, you walk through the doors and it's just different. You just feel that energy. And so a few years ago, well, maybe 20 now, but
20 that's a few. By. Time is an illusion, so you're right with that. It is a few in retrospect.
I started studying a lot of theology. I wanted to know why do we go to war over religion, because we all believe these weird things, and these temples or living with monks and doing different things are just, there are ways for me to open my own personal perspective to what is available here on the planet. It's not just outside, right? It's in here that we have now. And so just as much theology and as much religion that I could soak up, and not necessarily the people around religion, because that's where things get really messy, but the actual doctrine, the words themselves, is where I would go and study. And just, I wanted to just learn more. Because the more that I learned, the more connected I felt, because I always felt like I had these holes and disconnection parts in my body. And I was always wondering, like, was it just born broken? This hole that's sitting here in my chest, is it just supposed to be there? And all of these studies and these experiences have helped me realize that first, everything was already in me, right? I didn't have to learn something, but it gave me permission to be open with spirituality. It gave me permission as a man who's heterosexual to be open with femininity. And what does that feel like?
Yeah.
And how can I communicate in a more direct and sincere manner with a woman that's not like just very direct and, you know, this hard, aggressive manner, which has just completely changed my life.
That's really cool. No, it's amazing. You know, what I find so great about all of this is that, you know, you did it. You did it. Yeah, you did it. And so my question to you is, again, going back to guys who are thinking, how can I do this? How would you say, like, do it, just do it, but like giving them steps to do it? What is like a couple of offerings that you could say, okay, do it this way?
Cool. So we're talking, there are two conversations. Was it how to just leave your life or how do I open myself up a little bit more to this, this conversation, the femininity?
Both. Tackle them both. We got some time. Start whatever you want. Start with letting go first and how to actually do it. So if you can start with whatever you're led to start with.
Cool. Okay, cool. So one of the things that I teach now, I don't coach anymore, but I have a lot of people that ask me the questions like, you know, I just don't feel like I'm connected anymore. So one of the easiest conversations to have is a few times a day, it's stopping and taking a moment and just saying, what do I feel right now? Like, physically, am I feeling something in my body? Am I feeling emotion? Do I feel anxious in my stomach? Do I feel pain in my knee? And then it's being opened to the question of saying, well, if I feel nervous right now, can I literally ask myself, like, what am I actually nervous about? Mm-hmm. Is this a thought, a feeling? Is it that I have to make a call? Is it I have to go speak to somebody? And in dissecting the feeling, like saying, well, what does this actually, not instead of just walking around all day thinking, God, I just have a knot in my stomach all day and I don't know why, but actually asking the question, like, what is this? It helps the mind to dissect what those little emotions are that are causing us all of this stress and causing all these problems, to where we're like, oh, okay, cool. I just know that right now I'm nervous about making a call in an hour. And, you know, I don't have to be nervous about that right now. I can just go ahead and take care of that in an hour or whatever. And it's helping release these pressures in the body. For me, it was in my lower back and it was my mid back. And I started learning, well, every time I thought about my mother, my mid lower back started to cramp up. And it was a conversation that I got to have with my mom. Interesting that the body, this tool that we can't redesign, actually gives you feedback about what's going on in life. And so this feeling conversation, it's kind of one of those ones where people might glaze over at first. But in reality, all you're really trying to do is find out, like, seriously, what's going on inside my body. And this helps us to start to feel things again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true, because, you know, a lot of the time the word feel, or how do you feel, you know, it becomes like, especially with men, there's a separation between feeling, emotion, and doing. And I think when you get into the root of feeling, and what is it, the process of feeling, what are you going through? So when you're going through all of these changes and you finally, like, decide, you know what, I need to do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it?
Cool. So they going all the way down to the I'm going to do something for me, I feel has to come from a really strong reason. You know, we can say, you know what, I'm tired with life, I'm just going to go do something. And if you boil down the reason from that, maybe it was really super selfish, or maybe it was, you know, twisted in some manner. But if you can really find the reason, like, I really feel that where I'm living right now isn't working for me anymore, and I have this passion I want to go explore, and you find the core, the real reason for this, that's pretty much all you need. I think most of the time we go back and forth in our minds. We try to create, you know, what it might look like, or we try to create, all of these people might be mad at me if I do these things, mm-hmm. but we're not really sure right. if it's something that's really good for us or not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then put up all these obstacles as to not doing it. You know, there's a book I'm reading now, a Japanese philosophy, called The Courage to Be Disliked. And I think once that also sets in, where it's like, you know what, it's okay if people aren't going to like me. I've got to do something for me. It's not that I'm not like loving them back, but, you know, it's okay to let people not like you, and then just be authentic to yourself and do it. You know, that's like, for me, I really want to go to India, and I'm going to go. And the process I know will unfold naturally. So it's kind of like, when will I do it is the next step. So if you all are searching tonight for the whens and the whys of what you should do and when you should go, what do you offer people?
The when is as soon as physically possible before you talk yourself out of it.
And the why?
And the why. Yeah, if you can get really clear on it, like, this is just, it feels right, or I'm just listening to my intuition, or there's this experience over there, all these conversations are flashing in my head as we're speaking, where I have friends that are having these opportunities to go, you know, teach or go do something different in a different country. And they don't leave because they're like, well, I kind of have some friends here, or I have a decent job. It's not something I love. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, the right answer is to go explore and expand. And it's not hurting anybody from what you're doing. And so it's getting, removing some of the education that, you know, we need to be born here and stay here and do and act a certain way because of what everybody else told us to do, is what kind of opens that. So it's, yeah, find the reason, and then just as soon as possible, or you probably find a way to talk yourself out of it.
And if you do, lead yourself to the water.
Yeah,
lead yourself to the water. I'm super grateful that you're here joining me tonight. Again, let everyone know, how do they can find you, where they can find you, and how they can find you.
Yes, as far as the live streaming meditation app, that's One Mind Meditation, and that's on Google Play or Apple. It's phone-based. Mm-hmm. We basically just want everybody to have the same access to meditate without having to worry about, how do I do this? Am I doing it right? So why don't you just do it live with a live streaming coach and do it without fees, you know, just do it there. Or you can always find me on Instagram or Facebook, which is Greg W. Anderson.
Greg W. Anderson here on Max and Friends tonight. Again, One Mind, go check it out. It's a live streaming group meditation application. Apply, you know, the word application means to apply. So apply it into your life and apply that meditation into your life too. I promise you will change and it will really shift the paradigms of your belief system, of your faith system, of your purpose and your passion. So remember to take life to the max. We got to wrap this show up. We've got playing in the background, Sharon Agati, Lead Me to the Water. And on that note, Greg, thanks so much for joining me here tonight on Max and Friends. I hope you come back soon.
Yes, let me know whenever.
For sure. And back. I'm going to check out, I'm going to sign up to your One Mind.
Good.
You know, last weekend was what? It was like Yoga Fest, right? I'm like, oh, if Yoga Fest needs to get a hold of the One Mind, that would be an amazing. And I'm going to introduce you to an awesome guy that we have here on Max and Friends named Nandaji. Because this is all conscious creation. So I'm grateful for you being here. And really, I'm grateful that you listened to your intuition, yourself, and you got up and went, and through that created One Mind. So thank you for listening to yourself.
Thank you, Max.
Have a beautiful night, and I will talk to you sooner than later. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you all for tuning in to Max and Friends. This, I'm going to play out with this song, a beautiful song from Sharon Agati, Lead Me to the Water, here on Max and Friends. I'm going to offer you guys this week, do whatever it is that you feel you need to do. We are all here to dream, dream bigger. We all have a purpose. Take your purpose to the max. Shine bright, shine on, and trust yourself. You know, Greg said something great, that our bodies are a tool that give us feedback. And if your body is saying to you, I gotta go. Get up and do it and go and enjoy every moment of it. I love you all for tuning into Max and Friends. Good night and good karma. Until next Sunday, I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends. And now, Lead Me to the Water with Sharon Agati. Cross now.